Well, good morning. It's good to be here. If you came in late, my name is Trevor Kaufman. I'm the campus pastor here at South Creek, and we're a campus of Revive Wesleyan. And a little moment of vulnerability and honesty with you. I don't know, have you ever woke up like before you had to go to work in the morning and been like, I just don't want to go to work? I'm pretty sure you do. All experience that, right? Well, that was like this morning for me. Your pastor's not supposed to not want to come to work and preach, right? I didn't say this to the first service, but yeah, I didn't really want to get out of bed. I don't know. It was early. It was cold. I didn't really want to come. But then it's moments like we just had in worship, and I'm reminded of why we come here. And the moment that the message we're going to speak this morning, and it's just awesome. And so I'm super excited to be here. Just know that, okay?
Glad you came.
Thanks. Thanks. It just took me some time, but I got there. So anyway, but know that you're not alone, because I know you all deal with that as well. But just think, don't think that pastors don't. So anyway, I'll stop being honest. Let's continue. So anyway, we're finishing our series, Fresh Start, in which we're sort of acknowledging the fact that we all need a fresh start in life. We all need a fresh start. Sometimes the world has sort of gotten the best of us, right? And we just need to be reminded of who we are in Jesus Christ. And the purpose that he has placed on each and every one of our lives. And so we've looked at different individuals and through scripture over the course of the past few weeks. A couple individuals in the Old Testament. Last week we looked at Peter in the New Testament. And today we're going to look at another one. But before we dive into that, I want to sort of reread our overarching verse that we've been using throughout the whole series as sort of an anchoring text found in Romans 12, 1 through 2. And sort of sets the stage and the foundation for where we'll be yet again this morning. It says this: Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I love that passage. And it's a reminder that we do not have to conform to the ways of this world and the patterns of this world, which are filled with fear and doubt and anxiety and tension. But we can strive for something more in the fact that God has a purpose for each and every one of our lives, a good and pleasing will and purpose for our lives. And so we looked at, like I said, different individuals throughout the course of our time together over the past few weeks. And today we're going to look at one more. And this would be an individual that would probably be on the top of our list when it came to somebody who had a fresh start or a new perspective given to them. This individual did a 180 from where they were previous to their encounter with Jesus Christ, which we're going to talk about in just a minute. And who we're talking about this morning is the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul is actually the one who wrote the passage we just read in Romans. And so it's crazy to think, though, that Paul would be the one that God uses to sort of lay the foundation for his church and to spread his message out. Because before Paul was Paul, he was Saul. And we're actually introduced to Saul in Acts 7 and 8 as he is overseeing the murder and the stoning of Stephen, which was the first Christian martyr recorded in history. And so Saul, before he was Paul, was speaking murderous threats. He was wanting to persecute anybody in this new religion known as the Way at the time, new followers of Jesus Christ. He said, I want to have nothing to do with you. You guys are sort of, you're encroaching our territory. You're offending us. Whatever it is that you're about, we don't want anything to do with it. I'm going to take you into prison and whatever it has to do, I'm going to persecute you. But he has an incredible encounter with Jesus that we're going to look at. Because just after Acts 7 and 8 is Acts 9, and we see this outstanding encounter that Paul has, Saul at the time, with Jesus Christ. Let me read this, Acts 9, 1 through 6. I'm not going to read the entire conversion story of Paul, but we will discuss all of it this morning. So Acts 9, 1 through 6 says this: Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the Way, early church Christians, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." So we see this incredible interaction that Saul has with Jesus, and this light that comes over him actually ends up blinding him. He's then told to go into Damascus. He ends up meeting an individual by the name of Ananias, who lays hands on him, prays over him. All of a sudden, this what seems like scales fall from his eyes. He sees quite literally the light of Jesus, and he comes into this brand new relationship with Jesus. And all of a sudden, this Saul, who was this persecutor and one who wanted to arrest and stone anybody who was a follower of Jesus, became a follower of Jesus himself and becomes one of the most influential individuals in the New Testament. He writes 13 books of the New Testament, letters to churches and instructions and guidance for all of us still today. He goes on 3 missionary journeys, and he travels about 10,000 miles on foot. You can cue the good old-fashioned Proclaimer song, "I would walk 10,000 miles," because Paul quite literally did that. And so all of this takes place, but all of that happened because of one simple thing. He was instrumental in establishing the early church and all of its doctrine, but it all started with a conversation with Jesus. And so the thing that we need to be remembered and reminded of this morning is that a fresh start requires an encounter with God. A fresh start requires an encounter with God. You and I can encounter God each and every day through the reading of Scripture, through prayer, through coming to church services like this, through accountability groups and small groups and whatever that may be. We can encounter God each and every day, and as we do that, we continue to protect ourselves from falling into the patterns of this world, which is filled with doubt, lies, anxiety, and fear, and be reminded that he loves us and that we are worthy and that we can approach his throne room regardless of our failures and our mistakes, which we're going to talk about in just a bit, a little bit more. So all of this takes place for Paul because he has this encounter with God. Maybe you and I have had similar encounters with God, maybe not quite that grandiose. Maybe we weren't blinded by the light and had scales fall from our eyes, like is later described in this chapter. But we've probably had some sort of an interaction with Jesus. For myself, I grew up in a Christian home, and so mine was sort of a slow go, and it was sort of gradual. I entered into a relationship with Jesus and sort of really, truly in high school decided that I wanted to follow Jesus with all my life. But I've spoken to many people. I know there's people in here that have had that 180 experience where they had a dramatic change and followed Jesus and sort of let this old way go. In the beginning of January, we celebrated baptisms together when we heard stories from individuals who had this life change in their life, this new perspective change in which they identified that they wanted to be a follower of Jesus Christ, welcomed into his family, and they shared their story with us. And so the beautiful thing about these, when we have these interactions with Jesus, And maybe this morning you haven't had that yet. We're going to talk about that at the end as well. I want to give you an opportunity for that. Maybe you haven't had that, but when we do have these moments, it's great. It's like this spiritual mountaintop high. It's like nothing can stop us. We feel invincible. And I didn't have that 180 experience in my life, but I did have mountaintop moments in my life in which maybe it was a youth camp when I was younger or a missions trip when I was older or leading a worship service and just really, truly feeling the presence of God. And it was just an incredible experience. But then what happens is life goes on, and each and every day we're sort of surrounded by the ways of the world. And that's okay. We go out into the world. We're supposed to do that, but it's very easy for the enemy to sort of pick away at us and tell us we're not worthy. And through social media or whatever it is, the news, we sort of continually find ourselves being filled back up with weaknesses and stuff in our life that we're not comfortable with. Well, Paul experienced very similar things. And I think oftentimes when we sort of, as time goes on, after these mountaintop experiences, we feel like, well, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe God forgot I'm here. Or why isn't this prayer being answered that I keep praying God for over and over and over again? He's not seeming to answer it, or he's not giving me this desire. I want to use this desire and this skill in my life to glorify him, but he's not seeming to give it to me, or he's not opening any doors. What does that mean? Well, Paul shares the same experiences with us, and we can learn from him. He writes beautifully in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 and 8, as he gives an example of something in his life. This is writing to the Corinthian church. He says, "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me." And this thorn in his flesh, this thorn in his side never goes away. He doesn't describe what this actually is. He doesn't really give us any detail as to what this thorn is. It could be mental, it could be emotional, it could be physical, it could be spiritual, it could be a temptation, it could be a habit. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, he's crying out to God and God's not taking it away from him. He's not removing it. And so regardless of what it is, we see a man crying out for God for healing, for resolution, for this brokenness to be fixed, but it doesn't come. It doesn't arrive for Paul. But yet Paul is still a continual, powerful example of who God wants you and I to be. And so what I love about this is it gives us a glimpse into Paul's humanity, the reality of who he is, and the fact that maybe if we're experiencing what seems to be unanswered prayer or struggles or weaknesses in our life, maybe there's a greater purpose for that. And so maybe if you followed along with us for the last few weeks in this series, we've been talking about individuals who seem to have gotten what they've wanted, who've gotten sort of their prayers answered. Moses sort of identifying the fact that he was slow in speech and didn't want to do this stuff, but God gives him what he needs to go and do the work for the kingdom of God. Hannah gets the desire of her heart, but maybe you're still seeking the desires of your heart. Last week we talked about Peter experiencing reconciliation and forgiveness, but this is something that you yourself are really struggling with, or maybe somebody else on the other side of a relationship is unwilling to forgive you, or there's some brokenness in place. And no matter what you do, it seems to continually not come the way you think it should. And we see the same struggle with Paul, who's not just affected by his weakness, but a perceived lack of response from God. But the question is God really not responding to him? Well, Paul comes to learn this in the very next verse, in verse 9. This is one of my favorite passages again. I know I keep saying that, but there's a lot of passages I like. A lot of them happen to be written by Paul. He says this, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you.'" This is the word he received from the Lord. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And then Paul comes to this conclusion. He's like, you know what? Bring it on then. He says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I mean, that speaks so much to me, and I hope that it speaks to you. Even this morning, in my vulnerability, as I woke up this morning, I was like, I don't really want to do this. But then God shows up in a powerful and dynamic way and speaks through me. Because where I am weak, whether it's mentally, emotionally, physically, he can shine greater. He can shine brighter. And so oftentimes we can use our excuses and our unanswered prayers and our inadequacies as excuses to not be used by God. Or we can use them to allow him to work in powerful and dynamic ways. And that's what Paul does here. He's like, that's why I delight for Christ's sake. I delight in the weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties, because then he can work in even greater ways. Then I don't get in the way. I've seen that happen so many times in my life. When I used to lead worship, I would have similar mornings where I'd be like, I don't have the energy to do this. Or I'd be on a missions trip and I'd be leading worship over and over again every day. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. The weaker I got, it seemed like the more God showed up, because the more I got out of the way. And so sometimes God allows these unanswered prayers in our lives to occur so that we can cling tighter to him and that he can shine brighter through us. There's sort of an interesting picture of what this sort of looks like in our life. In Japan, there's an art form known as kintsugi. I probably don't say that right, but I don't care. Which translates to golden repair. Golden repair. This is a picture of it. It's actually fascinating. So in the culture, when people would drop pottery or bowls or whatever and they would break on the ground, it was known to actually put them back together with molten gold, which would then make these bowls and these pots more valuable than they were before they were broken. And I think that's just a cool picture of how God works through our brokenness and through our weaknesses, because it's through our brokenness and it's through our weaknesses and it's through our vulnerabilities in which he shines even greater, because it's in those moments where we rely heavily upon him. So Paul has this incredible conversion experience this fresh start, and he's completely transformed in his life, but he still faces many trials and wrestled with significant weaknesses. He was probably one of the most persecuted Christians in the New Testament that's recorded. He shares in some passages later on how he was beaten and flogged and to the point of just almost death, imprisoned. He survived shipwrecks. I mean, this, I can only imagine what this man would have looked like in real life. And he was just a force to be reckoned with, but he still had vulnerabilities. He still had weaknesses. He was still human. And those vulnerabilities and those weaknesses made him human and made him approachable. Some of the most powerful ministry experiences that I've had in my life have been when I let my guard down and I was honest and authentic and vulnerable with somebody in an area that maybe I struggled with. And then all of a sudden they realize, oh my goodness, you struggle with that as well? Or you've experienced this as well? You see, there's areas in my life that I haven't experienced that I can't relate with you on, but there are other people in this room that maybe can. And that's why there's power in doing this together. That's why there's power in being together in this building. And we're gonna get into that in just a second. But with all of this that Paul experienced, this thorn in his side, the seemingly unanswered prayer, these weaknesses, or this persecution that he experienced in his life, he could have just thrown it in the towel and been like, you know what, God, you seem to have forgotten about me. Why are things so hard for me right now? But no, he didn't do that. He used it, he turned it, and he used it and allowed God to redeem it and reconcile it for his purposes, to give him the glory. And you and I can do that as well. As we experience what seems to be unanswered prayer, as we experience flaws and hurdles and persecution in our life, whatever that looks like, we can use it to glorify God, because those things allow us and cause us to lean into him and make us relatable and approachable to those around us. Listen to this. I love this statement that we wrote. We live in a culture that is quick to discard and discredit, but the missteps and trials in your life right now do not invalidate the story that God has written upon your life. Let me read that one more time. We live in a culture that is quick to discard and discredit, but the missteps and trials in your life right now do not invalidate the story that God has written upon your life. God wants to use you in the midst of your brokenness and in the midst of your failures. No matter how many times we fall short, no matter how much we wrestle with our brokenness, God is faithful to piece us back together more beautifully than before, over and over and over again. Now, don't hear me wrong. You may be thinking to yourself, well, I struggle with this sin. I struggle with this. So basically, I can just keep doing that because God's going to work through me anyway. Or Jesus died on the cross for me, and I've been forgiven. My sins have been forgiven. And so he's going to forgive me no matter what, so I can do whatever I want. Well, Paul warns the early church of that as well. It's not that we can just do whatever we want and that our weakness is we just condone everything that we want to do in our life that brings pleasure to us. Or allows us to enter into sinful lifestyles. That's not what we're saying here. But we're saying, what areas of weakness do we have? What areas of temptation, of vulnerability do we have that we can help navigate and walk through this with the power of the Holy Spirit and use to glorify God? We don't walk through this life just sinning and because we can. That's not what we're doing. But we do have weaknesses, we do have struggles, we do have flaws, and we can use those to lean into God, not lean into our own selfish desires and motives. There's a difference there. And this is a daily, ongoing process. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:16. Paul says this as well. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Day by day. Renewal isn't just a one-time experience, but an everyday reality. It's an everyday reality. We can be renewed. Our minds can be renewed. We can brush off the patterns of this world, and our minds can be renewed each and every day as we enter into this, as we enter into conversation with Jesus through prayer, as we enter into worship throughout the day, whether that's singing songs, listening to it on the radio, just experiencing his presence out in creation, whatever that looks like. We can do this day by day. It's not just a one-time thing and then we're like good to go. We need to continually be reminded of God's goodness in our life, because I'm sure each and every one of us look at the news or go on social media every day, and we are continually reminded of the way the world is approaching things, So we should probably combat that with continually reminding us of the way that God wants to us to approach things, because this will never change. This is continual and ongoing, and it's been the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our culture around us will change, but this will not. And this is where we find our identity and our value. It's in here. It's in Jesus Christ. Here at Revive, we want to be a church that's open and honest and real. And we want to live life together. We want to do this together. Because whatever it is you're dealing with, as we're sort of concluding this series on mental and emotional health and how it spiritually can kind of affect our lives, we have an incredible department here at Revive, our heal department, which focuses on addiction process, like overcoming addictions, marriage reconciliation, mental and emotional and spiritual healing, all sorts of different opportunities for you to get engaged with other people to share in the healing experience, because healing shouldn't be done alone. And we are all in need of healing in some way, shape, or form in our lives. And Jesus wants to work in and through us, but he wants to work through us as a congregation and as a community as well and as a church. That's why it's so powerful when we come together and worship like this. We say a lot around at the staff right now, people who haven't yet come back and are still kind of worshiping online, or they're really missing out. They're really missing out on the value of family and the value of being with one another. It's powerful. It's dynamic. We don't have to do this alone. And if you're in the need of any sort of healing, or you know somebody else's, we've got a few brochures over there of what our heal department has to offer. We want to be able to come alongside you. It's not us. It's not Revive. It's not me. It's not our staff that's doing the healing. It's the Holy Spirit working in and through us. But we have some avenues set up in place that we can help guide you and direct you in. But this morning, as we conclude this series, hopefully you realize and understand the fact that you are loved by God, and that God wants to work in and through you in powerful and dynamic ways. In your circles of influence, wherever that is, in your workplace, in your schools, in your communities. And the brokenness and the seemingly unanswered prayers that you may be experiencing are opportunities for you to draw in to Jesus, to draw in to the Word of God. And in those weaknesses that you have, in those vulnerable moments, don't allow those to discredit your effectiveness in the kingdom of God. Don't allow those weaknesses to discredit your value and your worth in who you are in Jesus Christ. Because he loves you, and he died on the cross so that you could be in right relationship with him. And just like Paul walked through this life and experienced highs and lows, you and I are going to walk through this life and experience highs and lows as well. The question is, are we going to worship God in the midst of all of it, or only when it's easy? Because Paul worshiped God in the midst of persecution, in the midst of celebration, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of success. Paul continually fixed his eyes on Jesus, and we too need to continually fix our eyes on Jesus, even in this broken and battered world that we are a part of. We can be a life-giving source. We can be a light into this community, just like Paul himself experienced. And so as we conclude our time together in this series and this morning, I want to do something a little different. We sort of did things like this before COVID, but we're going to sort of step into it a little bit this morning, and hopefully you're comfortable with it. If not, I'll instruct you how not to participate. So if you could all just stand with me. We've sort of mentioned three different individuals this morning. We mentioned Saul, an individual who had not yet understood who Jesus was, who was sort of blinded by the darkness around him. We mentioned Paul, who was Saul, became Paul, after seeing the light of Jesus, all of a sudden was a force to be reckoned with in Scripture, but he still dealt with unanswered prayers, and he still dealt with weaknesses and struggles in life. And then we mentioned Ananias, who was actually the individual who laid hands and prayed on Saul, becoming Paul, in Damascus that day. And so I want to think us to think, who are we? Are we one of those three people? Each of us in this room are one of those three people. We all can be. We all relate to one of them. And so maybe this morning you relate to Saul. Maybe you've been coming a few times and you're like, you know what, this whole thing, I'm not sure I believe this, all this stuff yet. It seems like too weird for me. But maybe this morning you're acknowledging that maybe there's more to it. And you're going to ask God this morning to shed away the scales over your eyes and allow you to see the reality of who Jesus Christ is in your life. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're Paul this morning and you have entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ a while back or even just recently, and you had some mountaintop experiences and it was good, but you've also have some unanswered prayers, some things that don't make sense, some weaknesses that you're struggling with accepting for yourself. And you need to be reminded this morning that you are still loved by God and you still serve a purpose in his kingdom. And maybe this morning you're in a good place, and that's fine. And maybe this morning you can be Ananias and you can pray over somebody else by laying your hands on them. And so with that being said, I want to ask, if you relate to either Saul or Paul this morning, you don't have to identify which one. If you relate to either Saul or Paul this morning, I would ask that you slip your hand up. Just slip your hand up. I can relate to Paul this morning myself. Honestly, I can. There's things in my life that I've prayed to be released and they just seem to continually be there. They don't go away. There's mornings I wake up, like I said, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this right now. But I need to be continually reminded, just like you all need to be continually reminded, that we are made strong in our weaknesses through his power. So either you're Saul or you're Paul this morning. And if you're not, I would ask, maybe you could be Ananias. And you could pray over one of the others. So again, if you're Saul or Paul this morning, raise your hand, put it up high. And if you're Ananias this morning, I would ask that you would go to somebody near you and pray over them. If you are not comfortable with that in this climate that we're in right now, just put your hand back down and we'll pray over you still. But if you want somebody to come and pray over you, leave your hands up, and anybody else, look around. If you see a hand raised, go lay your hands on their shoulders and pray with them. We used to do this all the time, but we haven't done it in like 2 years. So we're gonna do it again this morning, all right? So with that, let me pray as we conclude our time this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the fact that you welcome each and every one of us in this room into your presence, regardless of where we are, what we've done. And Lord God, I ask that you would be with us this morning in a powerful and dynamic way. For those in this room this morning that identify with Saul, who have maybe questioned this whole religion thing, this whole relationship with Jesus, what does this mean to them? I pray that any darkness that is over their eyes, any doubt, any fear, any sort of attack from the enemy that is telling them this is not for them or they are not worthy, that it would fall away from them just like scales, like it did with Paul. That they would see the light and the glory of your love that you gave for them. And as I confess and I pray this, I would ask those individuals to pray right alongside me in their hearts. The fact that I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I acknowledge that Jesus Christ died on the cross to allow me to be in right relationship with him. Heavenly Father, I ask that you continually, daily renew me and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Renew my mind daily so I can understand and see and give me clarity to understand your will for my life. I ask that in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. For those in this room that associate with Paul and maybe you've had some hilltop experiences but are struggling right now with maybe an unanswered prayer or a weakness or a vulnerability in their life that they think disqualifies them from being effective in your kingdom, I pray that those lies would be eliminated and cast to the feet of you at the cross. God, we love you and we praise you, and we know that our identity is found in nothing but you. Not the things of this world, not the things that people tell us we are, but who you tell us we are in Scripture. Allow us to remember that and stand firm in that this morning. Thank you for those in this room who are here to pray over. Lord, I pray that you unify us in the power of your Spirit as we do this. Heavenly Father, as we continue, as we sing this next song, as we declare that we will worship you in the highs and we will worship you in the lows, we will worship you in the valley. We will worship you on the mountaintop, Lord. Be with us throughout this process. Be with us as we go from here. We love you. We praise you. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Let's continue to sing what we've just talked about as we continue to worship.